This is Pastor Joshua Swilly, and you're listening to the Hope United podcast. We pray that this message is a blessing to you. Well, I want to welcome Pastor Corinne to the stage with me today. And we've been on this amazing journey with this series, and it's just been incredible because love is one of the most important themes, if not the most important theme in the Bible. And so it's a topic, I think, that it's just been so exciting to look into. So I've asked Pastor Corinne to join me today as we look at this. We've talked in the beginning of the series, we talked about how that the Church of Ephesus, they got a lot of things right, but yet they were missing this key ingredient, their first love. So we named this series, My First Love. And we know that when we love Him better, we're better. We're better husbands, we're better dads, we're better moms, we're better wives, we're better friends when we love Him better because He teaches us how to love. But today, in particular, we want to talk about this incredible mystery that Paul is talking about. Look at somebody say, incredible mystery.
Incredible mystery.
And this is what Paul says in Ephesians 5:32. You can go there with me in your Bibles today, Ephesians 5:32. And he says, "This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ and the church." This mystery is profound. I love it. It's mysterious, but it's also profound. And we're talking about Jesus and the church. And it's a powerful truth because Jesus is serious about his people that are the church. And there's this great romance between Jesus. And I think a lot of times Christians can miss that. And when we go about doing things in our own way, instead of looking back at the Word of God and seeing what's important to Jesus, what's important to the author and the finisher of our faith. Because 2,000 years ago, he started something. He started a group of people that would be called the church. And this was his vision. And he is still into the church 2,000 years later. Amen? How many believe that?
Amen.
So let's take a look at what Jesus said and how he began this that we call the church today. Matthew 16:16. Simon Peter answered Jesus, saying, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock. And upon this rock I will build my church. And all the powers of hell will not conquer it." So Jesus had a vision of a people, a church so powerful and so full of love that not even the gates of hell could stand against them. How many want to be a part of something that not even the gates of hell, not even the powers of darkness can stand? And that's what Jesus is talking about, something that is so powerful. And it's interesting how he takes this relationship of himself and the church and he brings it into a place of intimacy. He talks about how close it is, how important it is, and he likens it to a marriage. Would you read that for us, Ephesians 5:25?
"For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault." I love this because it's such a parallel and seeing how Christ treats us, his bride, how he treats the church is a direct parallel in a relationship in marriage. And if you're not married, I don't want to lose you. I think this is a great thing to look for because when we look at the design between God and us, he's very much a gentleman. He's very much loving. He's caring. As we saw in this scripture, he sacrifices. He uses the word to build us up. He doesn't use it to tear us down, to condemn us, but he uses it to build us up and make us better, to make us cleaner, to make us beautiful. And even in a marriage, it's the same thing. A husband and a wife are designed to make each other better, but the husband helps to lead the family. The husband helps to cover. The husband helps to direct the family. And it's not meant to be, because sometimes we allow other people to add to, and they kind of paint this picture of domination or suppression. And that's not what God designed marriage to be. As we see, when you build somebody up, you love them. You give yourself away for them. You lay down your life. And so he's very much one who wants to see us do the same in our relationships. So when I want to talk to the wives as well, or the ladies, in our marriage, we have to allow for the man to lead. We have to, just like the Bible says, when Jesus says, I stand at the door knocking, he's not pushing the door open. He's not demanding for you to open the door. He's waiting for a response from us as his bride. So as a wife, I respond in a way that allows my husband to lead. And so I think it's important that we examine our marriages, we examine how we would respond in that type of relationship, and even with our relationship with God. Are we responding to him? How are we responding to him?
Amen. There's a challenge in there, I think, for all of us. There's a challenge for the men. There's a challenge for the women. And it's to see and to follow the example that we see in Christ.
Right.
You know, Jesus says, and that he... that for us as men to lay down our lives as Jesus laid his life down for the church. And so I think as men and as husbands, that's a challenge to us to continue to lay down things that are important to us so that we can be a better husband. And so Jesus is challenging us, and we're looking to Jesus because he's the author and finisher of our faith. He shows us how to love, and he's separating true love from what's artificial. You know, in this life, we have this version of love that's like artificial. It's like that pink sweetener that you get in your, and it gives you cancer, you know. In this life, we have, yeah, that's right. Like, really? Sweet and low gives you cancer? Yes, it does. All right. Read some studies, okay? But in our world, what happens is, you know, there are things that we try to call love, or people clump things together and they say, oh, this is love. But when we look at the Word of God and we look at the sacrifice of Jesus, we really see what is true love and what is not.
Let's look at the family.
Yep.
I think it's important to look at our family and how we reflect our relationship with Christ with those around us. The better, the more of a revelation of we have of God's love with us, the better we respond to the people around us and have a relationship with them. I'm wary of when people say that they have this great relationship with God,
yeah,
and then they treat their family members like garbage, or, mm-hmm, you know, you see this, you know, harshness coming out of them with those that they love. And so, you know, I think the more that we commune with God, the more that we fall in love with Jesus, the more that his love transforms us. And it's important that we stay balanced, because the opposite could also happen, where we begin to have we pour in so much into people around us and our family, and we give ourselves, whether it's a special relationship, a significant other, or a friend, and then we begin to neglect our first love with Christ. And that's not good either. So we have to look at ourselves and say, what am I doing within my family? What is my relationship with God? Is it a reflection of his love among those around me? And same way the other way around. Am I keeping God where he needs to be? Or am I beginning to neglect that relationship?
Amen. I think it's so important that we not just love Jesus, but we understand that we're supposed to love one another,
yeah,
and work with one another.
Very
the
much.
Two greatest commandments that Jesus gave us was to love the Lord and love our neighbor as ourselves. So actually, the two go hand in hand. As we're loving Jesus, it makes us want to love others and work together others. And that's important, because Jesus is actually returning for a body of people. He's yes. returning for a people group. He's not returning for individuals. And I think this is where our culture sometimes gets off, because people are wanting to do things their way and want to do religion their way. But the truth of the matter is, there's only one way to do religion. That's Jesus' way. And so God wants us to love him, but also love each other. Listen to what it says in Ephesians 5:27 as we continue. It says, did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. So when Jesus returns, he's returning for the church, mm-hmm. not independent people doing independent things. He's returning for a people, a church that knows how to work together, how to love one another, how to encourage one another, how to come through for each other in times of need. He's yeah. coming back for, as he calls it, a bride yes. or a unified church. Jesus doesn't want us doing separate, living separate. You know, we all have specific things that God has given us, specific visions, but we're supposed to work together to help each other accomplish the things that God has placed in our heart. Right. And this is really evident. Jesus, before he goes to the cross, he prays this prayer. And I want to take a look at this prayer, because this solidifies it. If you are on the fence about how he feels about us being together and unified, he says this in John 17:21. I pray that they all be one, just as you and I are one. As you are in me, Father, and I am in you, and may they be in us, so that the world will believe you sent me. I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. I am in them, and you are in me. May they experience such perfect unity that the world will know that you sent me and that you love them as much as you love me. Now, Jesus says one so many times, and then he uses the term perfect unity. This is what Jesus is looking for. This is his vision of what a Christian is supposed to be and what his church is supposed to be. Perfect unity. Now, we may not all agree on everything, but if we can come together and we can love one another and we can work together, this is what Jesus is looking for. And he says, furthermore, that this is how that people will know that I am real, that my testimony is real, that I'm the Messiah, that I'm the Savior of the world. So when we don't love each other the way we're supposed to, it's a bad testimony.
Yep, it is.
It's not bringing people to Christ when we don't love each other right. What does the other scripture say? It says, "This is you'll be known as my disciples by your love." So when they see our love, it points back to Jesus. When they see our love, it points back to the fact that what Jesus did and who Jesus is real.
I think we have some work to do as the body of Christ, because we were sharing earlier that we recently moved, so we've been getting to know our new neighbors, and it's just funny because it never fails. After a while, when you get to know somebody, they start asking you, "So, what do you do?" And every time, sometimes it goes really well, and other times we're like, "We're pastors," and they're like, "Oh, okay." And you can see a flurry of frantic thoughts, inner dialogue going on in their heads, and you know, almost like this, "Oh my goodness, don't judge me. You know, I try to live a good life and all this stuff. And so, you know, I made a comment. We're here to change what you think about church and about a pastor," you know, and they're like, "Okay, that's good." But, you know, it's just sad to me that that is their image of something negative. And I think that that makes us responsible to work on being a unified body that loves people into the kingdom. There is a time for truth. We have to share truth. But if you're leading off with just correctiveness and things that are not showing the love, they'll know that we're Christians by our love. We have to share our love. We have to be unified. I was reminded by a scripture. It's all intertwined. We have to love God strongly and love people strongly. The scripture, 1 John 4:7-8. "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another, For love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. He's given us the ability to love others. We have the capacity to do it. So we can't take on this mentality that we've seen a lot of people take on, which is, you know, there's a lot of drama. I don't want to be involved in that. You know, I'm just gonna have my relationship with God, and that's it. You know, I'm responsible to Him. That's not what the Bible says. You know, it says that we need to come together. We need to love one another. We need to love God very intentionally and love people intentionally. And so we have to ask ourselves, I think it comes back to remembering that we're His bride and we're not separate entities, but we're one. So we ask ourselves, how are we relating to Jesus? How are we doing as a bride? How am I doing? How do I fit into everything? Because remember, the word says that we're many parts. We all have different roles, but we're one body. So it's important to examine your heart and say, how am I doing in the area of unity? How am I doing in the area of being one with those around me?
Amen. You know, I think that's so powerful, because when we do love the way that God loves, it's contagious. It starts with God, but it doesn't end there. When we really love, and love gets inside of us and love grows in us, it overflows. We've been talking this year about overflow. Well, what does it look like when God's love overflows in you? It begins to overflow in the church. It begins to overflow in your family. It begins to overflow among your friends, and even overflow with a love for the lost. I love that passage that you just said, 1 John 4:7-8. In the King James Version, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." So we're showing that we actually know God and we're following God the way that we treat and the way that we love others. And by the way, if you love somebody, you tell them the truth. You tell them the truth in love, but you tell them the truth. If somebody's about to walk off the curb and sprain their ankle and maybe get hit by a car, you don't say, well, God bless you. Just do you.
Let Him direct your path.
But that's not, Well, I hope the Lord directs your path. What if God put you in their path to say, hey, stop. Yeah. Don't walk into the street right now. The truth gives, love tells the truth. Love doesn't push the truth under the rug.
Right.
And so what Jesus did, Jesus never shied away from the truth, but He did so in love. And He showed us how to love, the perfect balance between coming in and the scripture came to my mind where He said, I didn't come into the world to condemn it, right? But to save it. You know, and so our heart for everyone around us that hasn't received the message of Christ has got to be, I want to be here to be an extension of Jesus saving people, not condemning, not in a spirit of judgmentalism. But at the same time, I want to share God's truth. Yeah. Amen. Will you stand with me? Let's pray. God, I thank You, Lord, for today, for all that You are doing and all that You're saying. This is a month that we think about love, try to figure out what that means to us. And a lot of times we're looking at images and the movie screen and the TV screen, and we're listening to songs, and some of that stuff is not real love. But we can look at Your word and we can see a demonstration and we can see a revelation of what true love is. Jesus, we want to be like You because You're the one that shows us the model. You're the one that shows us the example of what true love is. No extras, no bells and whistles, no different things that have been tried to be attached. No, You show us what true love is. So God, I thank You, Lord, that You continue to take us on a journey. Because God, I know that there's nobody in this room that can say, oh, I have it down perfect. I got it. But we're all growing in the knowledge and the expression of Your love. So God, touch our hearts today. Let us grow a little more and what it is to love like you love. And maybe as heads are bowed, you say, Pastor, I'm not where I need to be with Jesus. I want to know this love on a real basis, an intimate basis. And I've never really given my heart to Jesus. Or maybe I did give it to Jesus, but I drifted away. If that's you, just slip up your hand. I want to pray for you today. I want to pray for you if that's you. Amen. 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 If you slipped up your hand, I just want you to say this prayer with me, and everybody, you can repeat this with me. Jesus, thank you for loving me like you do. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for giving your life for me. Thank you for showing me how to love. Jesus, I'm sorry for where I missed it. I'm sorry for where I made mistakes and where I sinned. Jesus, give me a fresh start today. Wipe away my sins and teach me how to love. Teach me how to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's give God the praise today.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Please consider planting a seed in this ministry. Any seed helps us get the gospel message out to those that would otherwise not hear it. If you want to give, please click the link below in the episode notes. If you're in the area, come visit us in Pembroke Pines, Florida. May God bless you, and may you possess the promise God has for you.